Millshed Revival in Infidel and Hornsby, Tennessee, I shall never forget the time when God really heard and answered prayer. His power was manifested in an unusual way. I was in Hornsby, Tennessee, in a meeting out in the country about 5 miles. We were having terrific services. The house was full. The eyes were full. The windows were full. I was sitting right by the window. Just before I got up to preach, somebody pulled on my coattail. I looked out the window, and there was an old man who was an infidel. He said, "Preacher Ray, would you come to our little village and hold a meeting when you get through here? I'm an infidel. I ain't religious, but I want you to come down there because you preach the truth. That hypocrite bunch, there ain't never heard the truth. I said they may not let me preach there." He said, "I'm asking you." I went. I tried to find a place to preach, but couldn't find one. That old infidel said, "Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I have a bin mill. I want you to come and preach, and I'll close down the mill." He closed down his mill, loaded his machinery back in one corner, and made a meeting house out of it. He said, "Come on and preach. If they won't let you stay around here, I'll let you stay at my house. 3 generations of my people have been infidels. There has never been a preacher on our doorstep, much less in our house. You can sleep in my guest room bed. I'll cut hams that have never been cut and feed you. You're staying with me. You preach." I remember that one of the deacons of the Baptist church in that town came over while we were getting the meal ready. He said, "Who do you think is going to come hear you preach in a meal like this?" I said, "Nobody's asked you to come, and I hope God doesn't let you come." The first night of the meeting, he started out to the service. His knees began to buckle under him, and they had to take him back to his house. He never did get to come because he acted so ugly. I preached a week, and there was not a movement. Crowds poured in there. There was still not a move. I went out to the country church that I had built and pastored for a while. 95% of the people I'd led to the Lord couldn't read or write. They didn't have shoes. I was back in the Depression. I called on all of them to help me pray in the meeting. They said, "We ain't got no way to get down there, and we ain't got good clothes to wear." They were barefooted. The men wore overalls, and the women wore dresses made out of fertilizer sacks. I said, "Forget the fact that you don't have good clothes or shoes. Come on and pray." I sent a bus out to bring them to the meal shed. We started a prayer meeting around the clock. 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 9:30 to 10:30, overlapping and doubling it up. For 6 days and 6 nights, there wasn't a minute but what someone was praying for God's power to come on that meeting. For 6 days and 6 nights, 48 people prayed 1 hour each around the clock. On the 7th night, we all came together, all 48 of us, to pray for 7 hours straight. We prayed 7 hours straight. Not a thing had happened to that night. That 7th night, people came in buses from Jackson and Memphis and many other places. While we prayed in the 7th hour, the power of God fell. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. A man who had not been in church in 18 years was knocked out of bed, ran down to the meeting in his pajamas, and got saved. Everybody that could come was coming. Others were getting saved. I had to go back to Mississippi on Sunday afternoon for a church service. When I got back Sunday night, the people were walking the streets, wringing their hands. They said, "Where have you been? This has been the awfulest day. People were wanting to get saved, and there was nobody here to help them." I said, "I'm here now to stay the rest of the week." I went to that meal shed preaching, and revival continued to break out. People said, I don't know, that's what they said. People said that I was under the meal shed for 56 hours. 162 people got saved. The power of God fell in that town. Someone took me to the daughter of one of the merchants in town. They wanted me to talk to her about Jesus. She got saved. Her parents were workers in the First Baptist Church. When she went home to tell her parents about it, her daddy got up, took his belt off, and whipped her with the buckle end of the belt. He claimed that she was not old enough to go up to that meal shed and get religion. She went to bed and prayed all night. The next morning, at 9 o'clock, her dad went down to open up the store. It was a very popular store. When he went in, he couldn't wait on anybody. The big traveling salesman came in. He tried to sell him some books, but he couldn't tell him what he wanted. The clerks couldn't wait on people for watching him act funny. He was crying, wringing his hands, and walking the aisles in the store. About 10 o'clock, he said, "Get out, everybody, get out." He locked the door and came home. God dealt with him so strongly that he got saved. The daughter went out the front door shouting, while he went out the back door shouting. Others went down the street shouting. About 1 o'clock that afternoon, everything was closed. Service stations, drug stores, the cafe, everything else was closed in that town. People were crying and praying and shouting all over town. The General Railroad freight train was coming through there. The power of God stopped that freight train, and the crew got off and got saved. A man who ran a big freighter mill said that if any of his workers went to the meeting, they would be fired. But the next morning, about 9 o'clock, he grabbed hold of the emergency whistle and called in all of his crew and said, "Not another wheel in this mill will move until that preacher leaves town." The old infidel's son was running the cotton gin, and he got saved. The old man got saved, and his folk got saved. Whiskey still men got saved and went back to lead their crew to Christ. Over 18 miles across the Hatchie River, there was a group of women out in the field picking cotton. They had not even been to the meeting. They didn't know anything about it. They began to cry. One of the ladies said to the other, "Why are you crying?" She said, "I don't know. I just can't keep from crying." Another said, "What are you crying about?" She said, "I'm lost and going to hell. Is there anybody here saved that can tell me how to get saved?" None of them were saved. They started praying that God would save one of them. One did get saved. Then she began to testify. Before the day was over, all 18 of them were saved there in the cotton patch. They kicked up about half an acre of cotton as they shouted and praised God. The power of God fell everywhere. Up the road about 4 miles toward Bolivar, on 64 Highway, there was a log cabin inn, a big dance hall, a nightclub, a mixed bathing pond, swimming pool, and a liquor lounge. The man who owned it sent word to me that I had ruined his business. He said the people had quit coming to his place and were going to the meeting. Usually there was about 700 or 800 each night at these events, but the last night or two, they only had about 50 there. He got mad, came down to the meeting. He said, "If you say anything about my business, I'll shoot you out of the pulpit." The Lord made me preach on him and his business that night. God has gone out and started to shoot, but he couldn't. It wouldn't shoot. He threw it down, ran down the aisle. He stopped me preaching. I knelt beside him and led him to Christ. I said, "You go ahead and sit down until I get through preaching." He went back and sat down for a while. Then he got back up and said, "Wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute." I said, "Okay, what now, Joe?" He said, "You come on down to my place and hold a meeting when you get through here, will you?" I said, "Yeah." Later, we went up where the dance hall stood and built a Baptist church. He turned the mixed bathing pond swimming pool into a baptistry. He cleaned out the liquor lounge and made a pastorum for the preacher. When Joe died, he was a deacon of that Baptist church. Why did this happen? Because that bunch of folk who couldn't read or write and didn't have any more sense than I did prayed until God did something. That's all. God heard their prayers and shook their town. Oh, but we'll do likewise.